So this is in the way a final warning to us. As I came before you this summer, and I warned you before, if you keep playing politics with this thing, we're going to wind up, find ourselves surrounded, cut off, and we will find ourselves defeated. But if we unite inside this house quickly and bring together all the factions, then as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the good takes care of itself, but we've got to correct the wrong. So I'm urging this board not to cave in to political pressure from this side or that side, but do the right thing, but do it quickly and stop playing with this. This is too important for the future of our babies and generations yet unborn to be playing these games. Now, everybody in here is a political animal. There's nobody in here that don't know politics. You go from this side to that side, in the middle, bottom, top. We got all kind of political philosophies represented here. We got to pull those things together quickly, because this is the progressive movement and really the last hope for America, whether you believe it or not. America's future is resting on what is done in this meeting. You say, well, that's a big thing, man. We don't have the budget of the Congress and all that. But you got the goodwill and righteousness of God and what's right on your side. Take advantage of this opportunity. Pull this thing together now. Help us here in Houston to represent the diversity of this community, because we don't want to fight here either. And if it got to be done from the top down, so be it. But we're going to keep working on our thing here. Put together the right model, and let's go to work. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we're wrapping up the session. Yeah, soon.
Okay, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Serene Roberts, New York, and I actually just want to point out a couple of things. I know a few people mentioned the. Am
so
I going a little?
You need to hold the mic down.
Better.
Yes.
Better.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'm not going to go through everything again. Who I am. Someone else mentioned the limitation on staff on the national board, and I just want to be clear that we're talking about on-air staff. That if someone is in fact chosen by their co-workers and elected to the labs, to the local station boards, and the station board then sends them on to the national board, that the last straw poll suggested that they must give up their on-air time. And the staff at WBAI is overwhelmingly opposed to such a notion. So I'd ask you to rethink that. Secondly, I want to challenge the repeated equation of commitment to Pacifica to the donation of cash. I think that belies... Well, it certainly is not true. I know there are people who are very committed to the station, who contribute where they can. They're not always able to do it in time. I know people who have literally, and I was talking to someone about this earlier, who can only pay $10, and they need to send that in installments. So to say that that person doesn't deserve a vote in what happens at their station seems to me to not be fully cognizant of what the mission is supposed to be doing. Thirdly, I want to mention just briefly that this is a wonderful time to experiment. And if we don't, if we're afraid of experimentation, and I heard cries of no experimentation, let's do what works, although it's clear that what was done at KPFA did not, in fact, bring the desired result, the cries of no experimentation, sort of, you know, if we look at the history of Pacifica, if people were afraid of experimentation, we wouldn't have Pacifica. Pacifica is an experiment. So why we're running away from the thought of that now is seems a bit strange to me. And the last thing I want to do is to just briefly quote from an email that David Moore sent in August with regard to people who are saying that we don't need to have constituencies represented. For an example of the individual social paradox, I might choose to be race blind, but my society constructs me and others in this conversation racially. Society places me within language and economic circumstances by racial categories. The liberal dream of the completely free individual pretends that such social forces, however much they're based on illusion, do not have material power. America's liberalism has always wanted to forget its past, its history, its social construction. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I have three other people who want to speak. So if we can just call on those three, and then that will be it. Abante? I got your name. Yeah. Abate, sorry, Andrea and Ken. And again, please don't repeat stuff that's already been said. Thanks.
I promise I won't repeat something that's been said. My name is Abate. I'm from KPFT. I'm on the governance bylaws and on the Anti-Racism Diversity Committee. And I would like to urge the the board to reinstate the article in the bylaws which empowered this network or foundation to build an economic foundation in terms of newspapers, publishing, et cetera, et cetera. For some reason, that language was taken out, because what the founders envisioned was to create an economic community that was going to support the tens and tens of thousands of people that would come to this conversation called Free Speech Radio and be supported in more than just information, but be supported economically. We at this foundation go out of its way to remain broke. I mean, we work at it awful hard. And for a business, and this is a business, and we're in the radio business, but for a business that has assets worth hundreds of millions of dollars and that communicates to millions of people and you're broke, there's something very wrong. I suggest that you could get into the pencil selling business and generate millions of dollars a month nationally just, for example, selling pencils. So I would like for us to understand, the importance of being able to fund progressive radio, getting off our knees and begging people to give us money, which is fine, but we also have the ability to do things entrepreneurially. And there's nothing wrong with business. I'm going to say the dirty word because people like to freak out when you say business, okay? I want you to know business is not a dirty word, okay? And how monies are used is determined by the mission and the motive. And it seems to me that we don't trust ourselves to be good stewards of millions and millions of dollars. I would like to give this network and this community an opportunity to demonstrate that we can be good stewards and we can become relevant, because it seems like all the bad guys got all the money, and the good guys got the rhetoric, but the bad guys got all the money. And we're up against a 900-pound gorilla that's getting awful nasty, and we're trying to placate them with words. We need money. We need money, and we need to begin to take advantage of that. And by reinstating that language, those guys knew, the founders knew what they were doing when they put that language in the original articles. And we need to put that language back where it belongs and actualize it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, we just got two more people, Andrea and then Ken. Where is Ken?
Andrea Fishman, WBAI, New York, rather. I'd like to speak about four issues in the bylaws quickly as I can. Article 17, Section 3 is the last one. It's about the bylaws convention. And I'm glad that it's in here, but I believe that it's not specific enough. It says the members shall vote to ratify the revised bylaw sections. It's not clear who the members are. There should be, the membership should be empowered to change or amend or propose or revoke the bylaws. The powers should be in the membership's hands. There are also, I think, the procedures for this convention should be outlined more specifically, not only the powers, but the time leading up to the convention and preparing for it. There should be governance programming throughout the period between the time the bylaws are and the elections are enacted and the next and the convention. There should be an education of the station staff. Most of the staff, we are told, don't know much about what's going on, so there should be a concerted effort that the staff and the listeners are informed and prepared to participate in the convention. Also, Article 12, Section 3, this is part of the stuff that we're supposed to consider a boilerplate, but it's about directors' inspection rights. And it says that all the records and documents of the foundation may be inspected at any time by the directors. I think that this is a dangerous statement. I would like to know whether it includes producers' files, programmers' files, and records, research, et cetera. There could be a time when that material might be considered under the purview of the directors, and I think that would be very, very dangerous. So I think that should be clearly stated. The bylaw, which it's number 3B, Article 3B, membership. I would like the board to reconsider membership.
Again, Article
3. I think it's 3.
Mm-hmm. Staff members?
Page 3 of 23.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's page 3 of 23. I think that we should reconsider this definition of membership. I think it's very important that we recognize the importance of the power of the members, and that the members should be composed of the class of people who are participating in the protection of the station, that a certain amount of time should be required each month of participation in working at the station or for the station, that the knowledge of the members, that the democracy of the station depends on the knowledge of the membership and the participation and familiarity and work at the station is what will create an experience and a knowledge that will enable us to preserve this station. So I would respectfully ask you to reconsider this and open this discussion again. The last issue I want to raise is the issue of referenda. There's nothing in the bylaws that mentions referenda. The only way that the membership can initiate the only way that the membership at any time has a means of redress, we are told, is recall. Now, recall is a very important right for the membership to have, but it also should be, it's a difficult right to enact. You can't enact it just at any moment. And so there should be a means of redress for the membership, a means for the membership to initiate or overrule decisions at the local or the national level. The membership must be empowered also, or I believe we will fail. I would like to echo the calls for local control, the calls for popular democracy. If people do not genuinely have power and influence over this station, they will stop participating and we will lose it. We will not have the protection of the people. We must remember the 10,000 people at Berkeley. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, finally, Ken. Very brief, Ken, right?
Thank you, Leslie. I'll be as brief as I possibly can here. I would rather not to have to speak to this issue, but unfortunately I need to because several board members are pursuing the idea of proposing imposition of arbitrary quotas on election results for labs and other station boards, other Pacifica boards. It's the case that, first of all, this is an interim Pacifica national board, and it should not be in the position of directing the entire future of Pacifica to carve into stone the layout or the final results of elections on the basis of demographic statistics. I think an elected board might be in a position to consider something like that, but not certainly an interim non-elected board. But most importantly, we've received recently a letter from Bob Bogan, who is a nationally recognized elections consultant who's worked with many countries on their elections and with the UN, I believe. And he has endorsed a petition to ask the Pacifica National Board to not impose artificial quotas on election results. If quotas were to be used at all, if they were to be justified at all, it would be in determining that there is a sufficient diversity of candidates for the election. But if that were the case, and if the proportional representation method of voting were used, which is what Mr. Bogan and other election officials that are familiar with this idea consider to be sufficient, method of determining diverse election results, then I think that we would be able to have our cake and eat it too. We could have diverse election results without compromising the integrity of the elections. And so, again, I'm sorry that I have to deal with this method. I would like, with this issue, I would like to be dealing with some of the finer points of the bylaws proposals, but I think it's vital that we really look at the integrity of the elections process that we're setting up for the future for Pacifica. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank everybody for really staying on point and, you know, making your comments as direct and focused as you all did. I think it's helpful to all of us. So what I want to do now, actually, is turn over to Rob. Rob.
Okay. Thank you, Leslie.
Well, actually, I was going to make a motion. I think I just wrap this whole thing up really easily. I just move that we accept all the recommendations that we heard this evening. And then... No? Okay, never mind. I withdraw the motion.
Okay. Jabari.
Jabari Skia. Listen, what I would like to do in this interim time period is to, I mean, we hear, you know, we've gotten a bunch of comments from the public. What I'd like to do, and I don't think to my satisfaction we've done it enough, I would like to hear thoughts from other members on the board about where they think this process should be going, because I have a bunch of concerns, and one of the things that has not been taking place is there has not been sufficient communication between board members into where they think things should be going, what they think are the most important things. And we have an obligation to create a document that we think is the best thing. And we are not taking the time to even discuss among ourselves what we think. We've heard ad infinitum what other people think, but we are not discussing among ourselves what we think should be.
All right, let me just ask. So you're suggesting that maybe for the rest of the evening that we just have a general discussion about the thrust or the direction of the bylaws?
Yes. I want to hear what other board members really have to say, because we all coming from different places.
Is that okay with folks? And then tomorrow morning we would begin with the know, specific articles that we need to look at.
Yeah, because we've heard again from the public, so let us kind of.
Right. Carol.
I like that idea. I know that sometimes we get bogged down in responding and counter and point and counterpoint, but it might just be good to go through and allow every board member to say what they think is most important in the bylaws and where maybe the areas that they're really hoping will, that's enough. Just one at a time without getting into debate is what I'm saying, to hear each other.
I think the devil is in the details. I disagree with my esteemed good friend Jabari. I think you want to discuss it, and if you're discussing Article 4, Section 3.6, whatever it is, that's how it's borne out. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, just to have each one of us extol with great fanfare that we think, oh, we need to help, make our foundation all the stronger by being all the better and being inclusive, blah, 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 blah. Come on, y'all, let's the devil's in the details. Let's just do the work.
Okay, Can I just get by a quick show of hands of people on the board, just so we don't spend a lot of time about whether or not we should discuss this or that. Let's just make a quick decision. The proposal that I heard Jabari put forth is that we take some time. It's now almost 20 after 8, so I think for the remainder of this time, another 45 minutes to an hour or so, that we would, each of us on the board would have an opportunity to say, whatever the most important things about the bylaws were. It might be about a specific issue, or it might be about the overall construction or direction that lays out, but whatever we felt was most important that we wanted to put on the table. So that was the proposal.
And seconded by me.
And seconded, right?
Yeah.
So can we just have is that right, George? We have a quick show of hands on that. So all those who are in favor of proceeding that way this evening, please raise your hands. Okay. So, and all those are opposed, George. So it's, and count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Right. 8, 4. Okay, so we'll proceed that way. Okay, so who wants to go first?
Jabari.
I'll go first.
Okay.
One of the things I, starting from the D.C. committee, one of the things, or the, some of the principles that we started out with, we wanted to be short, concise, and easily digestible. And to that end, I have a lot of concerns that this thing, as I said at the last time, has become bylaws bloat. There's a lot of things that are in the name of policy and other things that really don't belong in the bylaws, and I think we really need to be considerate about what really needs to be in there, what really needs to be in some other type of document or form. Also, I have really concerns about this whole issue with elections and membership, and I think you really can't divorce the two. And I think that's why those issues are going to lead to chaos, and they will be really unattainable on a real world level of actually being able to implement them with some kind of consistency, cost effectiveness, and actually creating an end result that you think the elections process was supposed to bring about. I think basically we've started off in the wrong framework. First of all, as a foundation, we are not supposed to be just a radio network. But this bylaws invariably deal with no other aspect of what the foundation was set up to do outside of the framework of radio. We, as one gentleman put, we have no institutional structure to do anything to generate revenues other than begging people. We have nothing in here outside of the realm of radio to create an actual foundation where we actually give out money and do things in the name of foundation. We have no other mechanism for people to join the organization or to be a member of the board outside of being in some kind of activity associated with radio, with the radio stations. I think that's an oversight. It's non-visionary. Also, we need to create a document that is generic as much as possible so that it isn't tied to geography, time, and so forth. That is, that it lays out a generic format and process for governance that can be, you know, specified where and when those things need to be specified at any given time within the structure and history of the organization. But particularly, I'm really concerned about this whole thing about membership and elections, because it consumes so many aspects of the bylaws. Constituency models, how do you vote, campaign, financing of campaigns, access to the air, da-da-da-da-da. As soon as you say elections, you're talking about creating a structure by definition that is based on sparsity. In other words, you're telling people you only have a finite amount of seats on these station boards and that everybody's got to fight for these seats. Okay, so you've created a system of sparsity that I don't think needs to be created at the station board level. Also, what you're invariably doing is you're wasting invariably much of the resource time of people. If this ever gets implemented, most of your resources and time will be about elections, whether it be every year, twice every 3 years, whatever. The time is going to be spent in elections. What I would like to see done is a focus on what activities really need to be identified that go toward fulfilling the mission at the station level and at other organizational levels within the structure that we deem to be necessary. That includes outside of the area of radio, talking about these business industry. I, too, would love to see Pacifica get into producing a press. There are now printing systems that you can print documents on demand. You don't have to have big printing presses and things like that. We need to go into the area of video. We need to have our web presence
activated and developed in a larger capacity. That's video and audio presence on the web. All of these things don't neatly fit within the strict confines of radio, per se. We need to create a document that's visionary so that we can identify the activities that we think most promote the mission so that individuals, people who are listeners, who are activists, who are any way desirable of putting their time toward this mission, can figure out for themselves what they are good at, what they are interested in, and where they can put their time and energy into the structure. Because I don't see Pacifica as being the apolitical and governmental organization. It is a business entity that is designed to create a certain outcome. What people need to do is figure out where they can fit in that will fulfill that outcome. And if we create a document that is more focused on creating the document, on creating those outcomes, than on having people snatch power, because this is what I keep hearing. I don't trust nobody else but me, so I need to be in power. Okay? That's all what I hear. I don't trust nobody else but me, so I need to be in power. Okay? Because it isn't about doing the mission. It isn't about fostering dialogue between people of da 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 da. It's about, I don't trust you, you know, I want the power. Okay? And that's all what people are talking about. We are talking about the mechanisms of achieving and maintaining power. We're not talking about the activities and the task that will go toward fulfilling the mission. And so we need to really, I would really hope that we really get a discussion about membership. I would like to see membership based on what people do that fulfills the mission, and that those people who are documented to fulfill, be in the activity, be demonstrated to be fulfilling the mission, get to decide who gets on the board, and not just in the area of radio. It could be in philanthropic activities. It could be in those kind of business activities that would be part of the stuff that Blue Hill talked about being self-sufficient, that we never talk about being self-sufficient because we're afraid. But these are the areas that I'm really concerned with, and I'm really want the thing to be short, concise, and get on with the mission.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Who's next? Who on the board wants to say something? This board.
I'm going to give my time up to you to allocate. I've had enough.
Okay.
I'm
allocating your time.
I want to listen.
Okay. Who else? David. Yes. David Furtig.
Being shy, I'll jump in anyway. I don't think my mic's on, though. Is my mic on?
Just keep talking.
Okay,
keep
anyway.
Talking. They'll get it.
So you should just keep all the mics live, really. Anyway, you know, I'm concerned that we don't pretend that these bylaws can create ethics, diversity, and good programming. The bylaws aren't going to do that. Only we as individuals involved, whether, you know, no matter what our relationship within the Pacifica family, only we can do that. And we shouldn't look to the bylaws to make sure that the ethics that we feel are the proper ethics are adhered to, or that the programming that we feel is the proper programming is adhered to, or that the diversity or the means of achieving diversity that we feel are the proper ways, we being any one of us as individuals or groups, what have you. The bylaws are not going to do that. They're a vital structural document, but that's all they are, is a structural document. And we need to address other ways of how we work with one another or fail to work with one another to create an environment where those other things, ethics and diversity and good programming and communication and going to places where we're not comfortable, and I don't mean just going to places where we're comfortable with being not comfortable, but truly uncomfortable. We need to do that, and we don't do that, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to work on that issue. And I think that if we look at the bylaws to do that, then we're just going to stay in the safety zone. And we need to have the bylaws be safe insofar as the one thing that I personally believe are the purpose of this body, is the purpose, pardon my grammar, accountability. Not creating an environment in which everybody who has a desire to help influence Pacifica is able to do so, but to ensure that Pacifica adheres to its mission, a general, broad, varied interpretive mission That is, it's interpreted in so many different ways. But we have to make sure that that's allowable. If we hamstring it, and if we tie it up and wrap it up in a nice little package that anyone or group of us feels safe and secure and permanent, then we might as well just flush the damn thing down the toilet, because it will not evolve and it will not respond to the dynamics of different perspectives that we are unaware of. I don't think Pacifica's purpose is to speak to each other about what we like to hear. I think it's somewhat the opposite of that, perhaps, or it certainly includes far more than that. And the fact that I've mentioned this before, in the Los Angeles Local Advisory Board, there was a motion that said that the heart, I'm paraphrasing, it was almost verbatim, and I'll get in trouble for saying this, it never happened to me before, that the voice of the listeners is the heart of the Pacifica mission, and I disagree with that. I do not think it's the voice of the listeners. I think it's the ears of the listeners and the ears of those who are not yet listening that the voice needs to go to. And I indeed think that the voice of listeners is a vital part of that. But it's only a component. Because if we only listen to what we think, shoot yourself in the head, ladies and gentlemen, because we're already going to be blowing up Iraq in a couple of weeks, more than we already are doing. And then we're just playing with ourselves at that stage. And I think that that's something I'm really worried about in terms of a lot of what I hear about the philosophy of Pacifica, that it's about what we think. No, it is not about what we think. Okay, enough of that. Anyway, so one other thing that I heard earlier, and I think it's an important thing to remember relative to staff representation on the board, the lawsuit that was brought, the first lawsuit, and as an attorney, you know, what does that mean? As a human being who read the lawsuits and familiar with them, and I think they're all viable and would win, but I was extremely confident of the issue raised in the local advisory board lawsuit, which addressed the issue that you could not take away someone's right to vote without their consent. Someone that had a right to vote. And there's been a lot of talk about, well, don't give staff the right to vote, because if you do, you won't be able to take it away if they exert too much influence. Well, I'm going to tell you something. And most of you all know this. The staff did have a right to vote, and it was taken away from them. And that was what that lawsuit was about. And to say now that we not give staff participation in the definition of the work environment by having specific seats at the table, as opposed to merely, or not merely, but being a single-class member along with other listeners and so forth, I think that there is essentially, you know, an ironic aspect. I mean, it blows me away. They did have it. It was taken away. We sued to get the staff and the rest of us the right to have local advisory boards name the national board members. And it is not, you know, it should be retained. And that was the purpose of it. So, anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else on the board? Okay, we're going. Excuse me. Please. Who's next?
I've been trying to decide what I wanted to say, and maybe that's what other people are doing too. Just trying to get their thoughts together. I don't know what to do about any of this. As far as I know, there are certain things that I feel strongly about that I fought for and that I would like to see us do, that I'd like to see to be the outcome, but I'm not sure about how to get there. I'd like to see us mandate diversity. I know people don't like to hear that, but I didn't even think that would be an issue. I've told this story before. I didn't even think we had to talk about diversity, because this is specific. We don't need to discuss this, and I found out real quick that it's a real issue. And obviously, it's something that needs to be included in the bylaws at some point. I'd really like to see a true advice and consent sort of, I don't know, relationship among the listeners, the staff, and the management. And I don't know how that could be worked out, really, but I'd like to see the programmers be left to do their jobs. And you all know how I feel about producers having a seat at the table up here. I don't see how you could even consider not including them. I never thought about the managers being on the board, though. We sort of like, that's just, but it's a new concept to me. I was thinking about what somebody used the term, I guess it was Willie, said that to leave clear and unequivocal power with the local station boards, the clear and unequivocal power I'd like to see the listeners have, and this is, I was reading it. I got to think this through. I think they should really, at the point when there's talk about approval, acquisition, and disposition of assets, really, that cannot be left to one entity. Everybody's got to come together and decide that, and that can't just be done by the board. And I don't even like to talk about disposition of assets. And when with recall, I think that the listeners definitely need to have, there needs to be some way that they need to have some voice in that. But I agree with what Dave was saying. It's, you know, I'm repeating myself so much with this. We didn't come here to this place to do this. All of us are here because we liked what we heard on the radio. And I'm sorry, I just like radio. I work in a paper medium, but I like radio, so that's why I'm here. All this other stuff about what we should be doing, we can hardly keep this going right now. So I don't know how we can think about, wow, I can only do one thing at a time. I don't want to be distracted thinking about what to do with the newspaper, other than the folio. I want that. But I don't, you know, maybe we can talk about plans, but we really need to be focused on getting this together. And I don't want the responsibility of determining the future of Pacifica right now. I really am hung up on what Leslie said before. We're here just to bridge the thing. Interim, that's it. I want concision in these, and I know we want a lot of the folks that I'm that I talk with in New York, they want to elaborate a lot of stuff, but I really am with Jabari on this thing about bylaws bloat. I would like to see concision, and I'd like it to still be difficult for us to get to be taken over. Now, how we can do all that, I don't know. And finally, I don't feel, this is sort of tied in with what we were saying before, about what I was saying before about what I see my job as being. This thing about stating the vision, everybody's got a different idea about that. I don't know, you know, that would just be, there's what, 100 of us in here? Everybody's getting a different idea about what the vision should be and what the mission is and what we should be doing. And I just don't know whether that would be a productive use of time. That's it.
Okay. Anybody else on the board? I'll go. I'll go next. I have a number of concerns and thoughts about this bylaws process. First is that it feels like it's in about 37 years that we've been working on this bylaws. I don't know about anybody else, but I'll come back to that issue at the end. I am so concerned through this whole process, I have a concern that we not create bylaws that our thinking about what kind of bylaws we need not be primarily guided by the horrors of what happened before. Yes, we have to learn the lessons, but the bylaws we create should be about what we want, not just about what other people did badly. And I do see some examples of that. For instance, I will argue when it's time that we have an executive committee. I think it's not wise to not have an executive committee. I don't have to get into the substance of that now. I'm sorry. Thank you for your support. but I will, you know, make a case when it's time for it. I'm fully aware that I'm probably going to lose on that, but I think that that's a mistake to not have it. I also think that, and although I think we've gotten a little bit better about this, but I don't believe that bylaws can or will answer all the questions or predict all the problems that we might run into and therefore have a solution for how to deal with it. It's just not how bylaws work. I also think that we're still sometimes a little confused about the difference between developing a governance structure and figuring out the day-to-day management of these stations and of this foundation. And in that regard, I think there's some stuff that doesn't have to go into the bylaws. It doesn't, it's not properly placed in the bylaws. We need a thorough review of our practices and policies, and that's where, you know, a lot of things really need to be addressed in greater detail. In a more focused way about the content of these bylaws, I agree that I feel quite strongly about this actually, that membership needs to be, that there needs to be some clear mechanism through which people show their connection to this foundation, to the radio stations. And I feel pretty open about the parameters about that. I'm not stuck on a $25 a year commitment. You know, it could be less money. Money is one way, but certainly not the only way. Volunteer time and energy, and there's lots of ways that could be brought to life. And I feel pretty hope that we should have a pretty widespread, you know, set of possibilities. But there needs to be some real manifestation of a connection to the station in order to be, you know, a member and have the rights of members. I'm also concerned about, in terms of some of the elections issues, about the frequency of the elections. I, you know, from based on what I've been told about what's gone on in Berkeley, it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. And based on all of our experiences on a lot of things at our stations, these things are complicated processes. So I'm concerned that we not be in a constant cycle of preparing for and then executing and then wrapping up elections and then getting ready for the next cycle. You know, so that's just a concern I have. I also support uniformity, not only in terms of an election model, but in other ways too. And I've said this for a long time now, that as important as it is to me to have five separately strong radio stations, I am just as concerned about having a strong network. And one way that we do that is by having some uniformity to how certain things happen throughout the network. I think the greatest differences in our stations probably will be in the programming. And, you know, at 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, what you turn on in one station is going to be different than what you're hearing at another station. And that's just a simplistic way of saying that. But I do support some uniformity. I also support greater powers for the local boards. I do not, in my mind, want to go to local governing boards. I like the construction of local station boards that have greater authority, partially because I think it's true that busy people who are engaged in lots of stuff, you know, how are we going to get them involved in this if there isn't something real that they're doing, and that's not just a fluff or a showcase. But I also think that the powers of these local boards need to be real and shared. Shared with the national board, shared with management, shared with other groups in the community, that we have to figure out all those sharing relationships. But mostly I'm concerned about the relationship between the local boards and the national board and the power sharing that goes on there. It's not about one group determining it all. And the power sharing within each station between listeners, staff, management, non-paid producers, et cetera. Two more quick things. One is I have a large concern right now, probably one of my largest concerns about who is going to run for any of these boards and how are we going to move once we have these bylaws into the actual recruitment of people and actually finding people to do this. And finally, I am concerned about the timing of this whole process, that we need to wrap this up. We need to, for a variety of reasons, our stations need it, the foundation as a whole needs a new governance structure in place. I don't think it's very healthy for the organization to keep, you know, dragging this out. We need to bring some closure to it. I also think we need to bring some closure to it, and this is certainly out of my own experience, because I, and I think a lot of us in this room, are being pulled by the other demands of the world that we live in to pay some attention to all the many national and international and local crises that are right on our front door. And if we're so involved in this bylaw discussion, it means that, you know, we're here this weekend, we're not home doing something else, or wherever we might need to be. So I'm concerned about wrapping it up, and I'll wrap up myself. So, anybody else? Carol? Carol?
I feel a sense of urgency that we need to get this done, and that this interim period needs to come to an end as soon as possible. And for me, that means that I don't think any of us can say my way or the highway. We all have to give, and nobody will be happy with the final bylaws. There will be sections in the bylaws that I do not like. I'm prepared to accept that, and I hope everybody else is, too. We're going to have to compromise here. For me, the most important, I don't know how to prioritize. I want our bylaws to meet the requirements of California law. Mm-hmm. And there are several things that are required. We have to specify the manner of election of the local boards. We cannot leave it out of the bylaws. It has to be specified in the bylaws. And once it is specified, the members will have to approve any changes. And if there's a class of members that has a voting right established in the bylaws, then that class of members will have to approve any change to their voting rights. That's something that's very important. We have to spell out how the local boards and the national board will be elected. And we can't duck that issue and say the local boards get to decide that. It's going to have to be in the bylaws. Legally, it's required. The other thing, we have to specify the number of national directors. I see this draft doesn't say. Well, it's required under the law. We have to say there shall be 15 directors, or there shall be a minimum of 10 and a maximum of 20 directors. But we have to specify either a maximum and minimum or a certain number. The other things that I I think that the governance structure is about accountability, and that the reason why a few years ago, maybe starting around 1995 in Los Angeles, and so for at least 7 years, people have been advocating moving to a membership organization is to establish an accountable organization. That was the reason for it. Who is accountable is the person elected. So the members can recall or demand certain actions of the people that they place in office. But the members, I hear a desire, an undercurrent frequently stated, that we want to empower the listeners. And I'm not in favor of empowering the listeners to run this network. I'm very, very deeply opposed to empowering the listeners to run the network. What I want is a system that is accountable to the listeners, so that if the local board is screwing up, the listeners can correct them by replacing them. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. That's, I think, the only workable way to run an organization. We have several hundred thousand listeners. We can't get them all in a room together. We have several hundred that are interested in our governance, maybe. But they can't all be in the room together making day-to-day decisions or quarterly decisions either. So we have to delegate. The members have to delegate authority to boards, elected people, and hold them accountable. That's what I think we're trying to do here. And that's my position on that. I want to be clear about it. The local boards need a great deal of local authority. I am in complete agreement with what Kurt said earlier and Willie said earlier. It's based on 2 years of experience with an elected board. I've been on that board as an elected board for 2 years. Good, dedicated people come out and run to be on a board that has no power. Two things happen. They get frustrated, and they walk away and they don't come to meetings. Or they get frustrated and they become destructive rather than constructive in their manners of participating. Because, you know, you didn't run just to be window dressing. You ran to have an impact on that station. So I do think that we need local governing boards. And that those local governing boards should be accountable to the national board, which can overrule them.
What kind of things do you see their power thing?
I think they should hire and fire the local station manager. And I think that the local station manager should be accountable to that board. And that from that all other things flow in the station. If the program director is not, mm-hmm. if the programming isn't up to snuff, then the board will be in communication with the station manager about it, and the station manager will be expected to make corrections. I also think that the local station board should approve the local budget. But the local budget then has to be integrated into a national budget, and so there will necessarily have to be some give and take, where the local board would approve the local budget, but then it would be integrated into a national budget and approved as a consolidated budget by the national board finally. Those two things I think are absolutely essential, and I think each local station board should then be autonomous in how it wants to set up, what kinds of policies it would like to see implemented at the station as to the character of programming councils and so forth. At that level, they should have the ability to be flexible locally. But I also want to say that I think we have to have a strong network. And I don't think those two things are incompatible. I think we will have a strong network if we have strong stations. And I think we will have a weak network if we have weak stations. And I think the network can be more than the sum of its parts. And that what I'm hoping will come out of this is a governance structure that links everybody together so that the five local station boards have local authority over what's going on, but can be overridden by the national board. The national board's not going to do that capriciously. They came out of the local boards. We can trust the national board if we set it up right, if the local boards elect the national board. But then I'd like to see the national board be a place where people from five stations come together and talk about national issues and how to oversee how to develop and strategize how to make the network stronger. That's through national programming, through the affiliates programming, through reaching out to other alternative information and news organizations around the country and building connections, through the archives. I don't think the national executive director or the national board should be particularly concerned with what's going on at the local level. I think that's done better locally.
What will the executive director do
then? Oversee all of those things I just mentioned. Archives, national programming, affiliates, reaching out to and developing relations with other alternative media. I don't think the executive director should be required, as he is now during this incredible state of emergency and reorganizing and restructuring that we've been in since we came back, to going station to station putting out fires. I think that's a real squandering of a valuable person. The local
board should put out their own fires.
Yeah, I do. One other thing. I think membership in Pacifica Foundation needs to mean the same thing, station to station. We need to define our members. I think that we have identified stakeholders in the people who do the work, either as volunteers or as paid staff, and the people in the community who support that work, either through their volunteer time or money. And I think that the KPFA model addresses that very well and provides for a balance representation on the local boards and the national between staff and community members. I think our 50% requirement of women and people of color is essential. I don't think that it is in any way a distortion of the integrity of the democratic process. I think it's a commitment to diversity. That is a principle that we hold dear, and we set up our electoral process to make sure that that's what comes out. Just like the U.S. Senate is, it's not a one-person, one-vote system. It's a statement of values that each state is equally valued. I'm pointing this out because people have the idea that one person, one vote, or that we couldn't possibly see someone on the board who got less votes than someone else isn't isn't embedded in the democratic process we exercise here in this country, in the Senate. So if we have a value that says it's the purpose of Pacifica to promote understanding and dialogue between people of all races, colors, creeds, and nations, then we implement that by making a commitment to having that on our board. I'm done.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody else? There are a few board folks who haven't said. If anybody wants to, you're not required to, but if you want.
Yeah, I'm a bit tired. Okay, it's clear what's happening today is extremely important. I, too, want to see this business taken care of and a structure set into place that will allow us to function the best, better than we've ever done before in a very difficult time. I'm also concerned that we do the right thing. As much as I care about the process, the result is very important to me. When I think about the way this country was created and evolved, I look at the political process that empowered the minority, specifically white male property owners. And within that context, people could worry about applying rules, electoral rules, as well as you know, as sharply as possible. What I'm interested in is bringing those forces that are excluded from that process. And I'm not claiming that this is what's happening on this level, because one of the things that bothers me, actually, is the notion that when we disagree with somebody, or that we might even think that our position is better, is superior, or is more correct, and that's okay, but to think that that at the same time we should question where they're coming from, their very intention, is where I sharply disagree. I've heard some statement here indicating that some individuals are upset at the notion that there's a discussion of constituencies being involved. This is an idea that I support, I'm assuming, in an intuitive way, but it's an idea that has evolved as being one that would truly address the needs of addressing the mission for what it truly is. Not just in a legalistic fashion, but to indeed bring into this process the very forces, the very people that would not only mention as the constituencies within the mission statement, but that would save this network, because they would be in their interest to save this network, because their very survival is connected to the information, the ability to connect and build associations and organizations and survive. So for me, the way I interpret the mission is in a dynamic way, not only to create, to keep alive a radio station, because it is more than a radio station, but to have a medium that allows human beings, what we say organization, to thrive, to become stronger, and to make this network stronger, because it is vital to their own survival. So when I support the constituency model, it is not in a dictatorial fashion. It is in an open way where everybody has the right to criticize, hopefully in a positive, constructive way, and everybody critique, actually, because this can be done better, rather than because this is different from what I'm used to think as being necessary or as being the only element that can work. I submit to you that what the constituency model is proposing is something we haven't looked at boldly enough, that it is opening a door to a very serious problem and saying that if we truly want to address it, we have to think out of the box. We have to think beyond the tested, the true, and the safe measures. Many of the proposals that have been made here are guaranteed to work. They are working already, and they're being tinkered with, and they probably would work better. There's a tremendous fear, though, that this opportunity that we have, this failure that we faced not too long ago, is an expression, a manifestation of the shortcomings of that institution, and that we cannot patch it. It did not almost explode or implode in front of us by accident. It included in its very seeds contradictions. And one of the main important ones is a lack of participation of the very elements that needed for its survival. And this is what this model is offering to you. So I'm asking you not to support it, but to take the time to be reflective, to be modest, and take the time, give it a chance, give yourself a chance to look at something that is proposed to you, not in a in an arrogant fashion, but it is coming from people's very life, people's very experiences. It's coming from people who have experienced a struggle within the society. And this is what they think better for better for worse. Hopefully, they're correct. And but what I mean, they, if we do endorse the system, we will become our own property. It will become our own responsibility to make it stronger, to make it the best it can be, and to amend it when necessary. And that if we do indeed reject it, we don't reject it out of fear, out of suspicion. And that's where we are here today. We are at a moment which I think is crucial, and it behooves us to... and this is why, for example, at the very beginning, people would say, well, this hasn't been presented on time.